Morning, Journey Church. How are you guys this fine rainy morning? All right. First order of business, this will relieve some of you parents. Kidmo kids, you are dismissed. I get to teach these kids once a quarter or so. Love them. You know, you really need to be thankful for the Kidmo workers we have and stuff. These guys, all the way from the elementary school up, are... thank you. These kids are really getting a lot out of the program in here. We have workers that do more than babysit. They're in there really teaching your kids. And I just want you, if you see somebody today that worked in the children's area, go by and give them a big thank you for what they do, because they really dedicate their hearts and lives to teaching your children. And we're thankful for them here. So how are you guys this morning on a fine, rainy morning? Anybody think you wanted to sleep in this morning? Yeah, Karen knew I was teaching this morning, so she definitely wanted to sleep in. She said, I don't know if this is going to be worth coming to or not. No, it's good to be here this morning. Good to see all of y'all here. This morning, we're going to talk about another one of the attributes of God, another one of the things that we characterize God as. Did you carefully read those things as they came by this morning? You know, I was looking at some of the things. We sometimes have a very negative idea about God, don't we, in his character. I saw some things in there, ruthless and angry. You know, we sometimes feel that God is that way. But this whole series has been dedicated to letting us learn the true nature of God, who he is, what he means to us, and what his real character is like. And today we're going to talk about God being long-suffering. What does that term mean to anybody, long-suffering? You know, a lot of times we translate that as patient or patience. And there is an element of patience in that, but there's also an element truly of suffering in that. And that's what we want to talk about today. It's not just being that God's patient with us, it's that he suffers alongside us. And we want to see as Christians how we can use that attribute of God if we're going to follow him, if we're going to be a follower of Christ. Obviously, we need these attributes in our lives. So how does that look in our lives? How does that look for us to be long-suffering? And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So, guys, if you would, if you just bow your heads, we'll get started with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you. Thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord, to present the word and what it says about your character, about your long-sufferingness. And, Lord, how much you love us, Lord, is the basis for this whole series. All of your character traits are based on your love for us, Lord, and we thank you for that. I thank you this morning, Lord, for everyone that braved the weather to come out this morning and learn more about your word. Lord, I just pray that your spirit will be on us this morning. I will be filled with your spirit as I speak, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have some very straightforward verses. And like I said, sometimes this gets translated as patience. But I like actually the New King James Version, our first verse this morning. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Look at that. Break that verse down a little. God is full of compassion. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. He has abundancy of mercy and truth. Those are some pretty positive attributes for anybody that you would follow. When you think about these things that God is, what does it mean to be compassionate? What does it mean to be gracious and long-suffering? All those things show how much God loves us. As I said earlier, the whole series is based on God's love for us. And that's what his character shows. Our second verse this morning is 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not a slacker. I can put that in our terminology. God's not a slacker there. God is who he says he is. He is long-suffering. He is going to suffer alongside us. And he doesn't wish for any of us to perish, but that we all should come to repentance. Now, did you notice that's a conditional promise? Did y'all notice that? It doesn't say that it's all going to be okay because God loves us and he doesn't want us to perish. No, it says that he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. What does that term repentance mean? That's another churchy term that gets thrown around a lot in church circles. You know, when I was growing up, people always said to repent was to be sorry about something. That's totally wrong. There is an element of sorrow in it because you know you've disappointed God and you're not doing the things that God would have you to do. But repentance simply means a turn of direction, a turn of thought, a going away from your own way of running your life and following God and trusting Him that He has the best path for you. That's what repentance is all about. It's much more than being just sorry. Because how many of you have children? Yeah. How much does it mean when you say you're sorry? I'm sorry. Now, do you really think they're sorry? There's a difference even in your children you can see in what's sorrow and what's repentance, isn't there? When they're sorry, it's usually, I'm sorry because I've gotten caught and I don't want mom and dad to be mad at me anymore. That's why you're sorry. Repentance is truly when you decide, I want to do what mom and dad say. I'm not going to do that again. And that's the way God treats us. That's the reason He wants us all to come to repentance. He's our Heavenly Father, and He doesn't want us to just spare His feelings, so to speak, and say we're sorry. He wants us to change our lives. It's the reason He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. It's for us to have a method that God could change our very lives. And why do our lives need changing? Anybody here that is absolutely perfect and sinless? Let's just wait. Yeah. The preacher's kid. That is always the one that raises his hand. Have you noticed that? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we all know that that is not the definition of a preacher's kid, don't we? But yeah, we sometimes think we're sinless, don't we? We think that we've got it all together. We think we're on the path that God wants us on. And then events happen and things, and we realize we're really not there. And we make mistakes. And that's where God suffers alongside of us, is because of our mistakes. God doesn't want us going down that wrong path. Have you ever thought about that? You know, God has a plan for our lives. He's planned that out from the time we were in our mother's wombs of what that path will look like. And when we start straying from that and making mistakes, it's not just that we've disobeyed God, that He's long-suffering, and He's suffering alongside us. It's because He's thinking, oh, I've got so much more for them than this. I've got such a great plan for them, and they're just continuously going off course and ruining the plan. And I just don't understand. I've shown them my love. They know I love them, but they just keep going astray. They keep getting off task. They keep going their way instead of mine. And I just suffer because of that. That's one of the things that, to me, is just so fantastic to realize. God feels what we do. You know, God feels our mistakes. He understands our mistakes, you know. It's one of the reasons that Jesus Christ came to live on earth as a man and still be God. He has empathy for what we go through. He understands our mistakes. He's seen His own disciples make mistakes and be disappointed in them, knowing that He has so much more for them that they're constantly short-circuiting that process, that they're not doing what He wants them to do, and He's suffering because of that. He's suffering alongside of us. But, you know, God's got a better plan for us. And this isn't in our notes, but I just wanted to read this verse for you from Jeremiah. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I'll listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you'll find me." Now, if we're looking for God, can we be looking for God if He wants us going in this direction and we're going in this direction? We're not going to find God if we're going in the opposite direction of what He has for our lives. If we haven't repented and turned from our own ways and said, God, I want to follow You, how are we ever going to find Him if we're not even looking in the right direction? And it's not God that's moving, it's us that's moving away from Him. And we do this continually. We try to run things on our own. We try to do what we see as right for our life because we are our own gods. We think that whatever we know best, you know, God doesn't know. I'm sure that's okay for other people, but for me, not so much so. We always think our situation is exceptional, that whatever direction we're going in, it's okay for me. Now, it probably wouldn't be okay for you because the Scripture says it's not. But for me, God understands my unique situation. You know, I can go that way. I don't need to turn around. You know, God needs us to turn around so He can work the plan He has for us. He can't work that plan if we're continually going in the opposite direction of that plan. You know, how many of you are going on vacation this summer? I hope we are somewhere. We're still trying to decide. But you make a plan, don't you? You're going to go. They say, anybody going to Disney World? Look, her. Gosh, Wendy's, she just lit up all over. There's like this glowing mouse ears on the front row over here. Yeah, anybody going to Disney World? Hey, if you're planning, you have to plan your trip out, don't you? You have to know what direction to go. If you were going to Disney World, would you go to Pennsylvania first? No, that wouldn't be really the way unless you get one of those really cheap Allegiant Airlines flights. And that's what they do. You go to Pennsylvania, and then you go to North Dakota, and then they take you back through Nashville, and then you go to, you know, somewhere way down in Orlando. But we know when we make a plan the direction we need to go. God knows the plan for us, the direction we need to go. But we're constantly trying to get away from that plan. But he has that plan, and he wants to work it out in that perfection in us, that perfect plan, that perfect life that is all about serving God and being in him and him in us. Now, if God treats us that way, this is where this part of the message is going to get sticky for all of us. God's that long-suffering with us. If God understands that we sometimes go astray and he doesn't give up on us, he still loves us, what are we supposed to do when people around us disappoint us? When people around us get on the wrong path, what are we supposed to do? Well, I know what we're supposed to do. We all do. We yell, straighten up. You better not be doing that. That's not what I've got. Okay. Again, for parents, how many times have you said this to your kid? You know better than that. Is that not what we say? Is that not what we say to relationships in our lives, whether it be a husband or wife? And most of us in a relationship with a spouse, we're not brave enough to say that. Guys, don't ever say that. Honey, you need to straighten. Oh, man, you don't want to say that one. That will not go well for you. But we think it, don't we? We think, if they would just straighten up and act right, if they would just do what they were supposed to, if they would just listen to what I have to tell them, why do we think it's different in our lives, the way God treats us and the way we treat others? Why do we make that separation? Because we're not truly following God. We're not truly taking those attributes of God on ourselves and using them in our lives. We don't want to admit we're not God-like most of the time. We're not Christ-like. We're not following what he wants us to do. Look in Colossians chapter 1. It says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Strengthened with his power according to his glorious might for endurance and patience, and do it joyfully. When somebody continually disappoints you, are you very joyful? When you see people that know better continually get into the same sin, the same situations over and over, are you even compassionate for them anymore? Oftentimes we're not. Oftentimes we write them off. We write off our friends, our family members. You know, we'll just say, what's up with this? I don't understand. Why aren't you doing what you should do? Why are you continually disappointing me? And again, it's because it's about us and what we want for their lives. Instead of praying alongside them and being long-suffering, if you have someone that you're in a relationship with, whether it be a spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, parents, children, do you suffer when they suffer? Absolutely. Absolutely. When something is going wrong in their lives, whatever it may be, it could be health, it could be sin, it could be anything going on that causes them to suffer. Don't you feel that you suffer along with them? We should. We should have empathy for them. We should be suffering alongside them. We should understand, even though what they're doing is wrong, we've got to stick with them. We can't write them off. We can't just say immediately, this is wrong, I'm not going to deal with you anymore. You know, we like to think that. We like to think, especially as parents, that, well, my child will never do that because I'll do this, this, and this. You don't know what you'll do to your child does that. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that sometimes God will make things go on a long time. God will let that situation stretch out in people's lives. You know, I like this quote I found. It was just actually one of the little things that popped up on Facebook the other day, and I thought, I thought it was pretty appropriate. It says, trying to understand the behavior of some people is like trying to smell the color nine. Boy, isn't that the truth? Some people just baffle you, don't they? You think, why do they do the things they do? Why do they act like that? Why do they continually do that when they know what's going to happen to them? I just don't understand their behavior. And we often struggle with that. We struggle because we don't understand. But the thing is, what happens when we do wrong and we repent of it? What does God do? He forgives us, doesn't he? He forgives us. The Bible is full of stories about forgiving people. We need to forgive those who wronged us. You agree? Is that easy? That's part of the long suffering. It's not easy to forgive somebody that really wrecks your life, is it? I know we probably all have someone we know that has done something negative to us and has messed up our plans, our life, some of them extremely severely. But we need to learn to forgive. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 6. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Most difficult lesson I have ever taught to our children over here in Kidmo is that verse. They don't, but what do you mean? I don't have to forgive them. They did wrong. I don't have to forgive them. I said, well, it says God won't forgive you. Well, that's not fair. I don't accept that truth. I'm not going to do that. I'm still mad. You can't make me forgive them. You know, they're right. I can't make you forgive them. But the scripture is very plain there that if we don't forgive others, God's not going to forgive us. Because what has happened is that lack of forgiveness is putting a block between us and the intimacy we need with our Father. Okay? That's what's happening. We're letting that lack of forgiveness, not displaying part of God's character, not being long-suffering, not forgiving, not being patient, not enduring, we're letting that be a block between us and what God has for us. So just like I opened starting about people needing to repent, we need to repent of those things ourselves because God's got a path for us. And it's supposed to mean forgiving this person. But we've turned our back on that forgiveness and we're going this way saying we're seeking God. I'm seeking God. God's back over here in forgiveness and you're going away from him. You can't repent. You can't turn towards God and be running from him. The Bible is full of stories like that. I remember one popular story. Remember a guy getting eaten by a giant fish for running for God? Remember that story? Almost all kids even have heard the story of Jonah and the whale, the great fish. You know, running for God loud enough, he'll send a giant fish to eat you and pick you back up on the beach. Doesn't that sound pleasant? You know, that's what God's going to do to us. He is not going to give up on us. So why do we give up on others? You know, I love one part of this verse is trespassing indicates a boundary's been crossed. Would you agree with that? How many of y'all have seen the no trespassing signs? What does that mean? There's a boundary here that you're not supposed to cross, right? What happens if you cross it? There's consequences. In my neighborhood, somebody probably shoots you is what happens. But hey, you know, there are boundaries set there for no trespassing. We don't want you to go across this line. It may be for your own good sometimes. It may be because there's danger if you go across this boundary. It may simply be that I want this space for me. You don't need to cross this boundary. You don't need to be over here messing with this. You know, and we set this up, this boundary. A lot of us as Christians need to set some boundaries in our lives. Okay? This has been all hunky-dory, good-feeling stuff I'm talking about forgiveness and all that. Do you know what? Sometimes people cross boundaries, though, don't they? What happens when they cross those boundaries? We need to know how to deal with that. Because we can't go through life just saying, oh, that's okay. It's okay. They continually wrong me. I'll just forgive them because God forgives me. Do you think that's healthy? Do you think that's healthy to let somebody continue to mess up, to come over, cross those boundaries that you've put? You know, one of the things in our Journey to Recovery group on Friday nights, we deal with, you know, people with addictions, compulsions, dependencies. Do you know where most of that's rooted? Crossing boundaries that we shouldn't be crossing. And sometimes, as Christians, we have to determine what to do when people cross those boundaries we set for them, when our children cross those boundaries. You know, this has been reading a really good book. The title of it is basically, Don't Let Your Kids Kill You. Anybody ever feel like your kids are going to kill you? Excuse me. So, you know, this book is talking about how at a certain age, we as parents lose our influence over our children, and our children go, and their influence is brought on by their peer group. It happens. Some of you, I know from your personal stories, it's happened with your children. You've seen it happen. Or maybe as a young person, it happened to you that your parents had taught you the difference between right and wrong, yet your peer group led you astray. A peer group is an extremely powerful thing over you. And as parents, we especially have to watch that, because what happens then is we get into the deal where we're trying to correct the situation for our child. You know that? We decided that we're going to bail them out of every trouble they get in. We're going to take care of everything that's going wrong. We're going to make sure that they don't suffer the consequences of their actions because it's my fault because I didn't raise them right. You know, the Bible talks about train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. I think the problem is we short-circuit that verse, and we think of that verse as, well, if I train him, you know, right at 4 years old, by the time he's seven, he's going to be good, he or she. That's not what God's talking about. God's talking about a lifetime of training. Our children are still our children. If I'm 50 and my dad's 75, it's still a parent-child relationship. It may take that long for that child to return to the ways that you taught them as a youth, because they still have that peer pressure, that influence group that is not you. And you need to figure out how to set those boundaries. And what does all that mean to be long-suffering in that? What happens is we should not allow a harmful person to continue harming us. This puts us in bondage. The Bible says a lot about, because in the times, especially when the Bible was written, slavery was still existent. There's a lot of examples that talk about bondage and being a slave to something. What happens to us is if we continually just forgive, if we're long-suffering, which those are good qualities, do you know at some point when it crosses that boundary, all bets are off. We've got to do something different in our lives. We've got to not allow that harm to continue to happen, because we're now in bondage to the sin that this person over here has. Do you understand what I'm saying? What has happened here is this person has gone off course. They've gone away from the direction that God wants. I am spending my entire life trying to get them back on course. I'm spending every resource I have to try and direct them. I can't direct them. Their peer groups who's directing them. As a parent, as a spouse, whatever. Their peer groups who directs them. I can't change their path. They've crossed those boundaries intentionally. Over and over and over again. And what happens is I begin to live my life to change theirs. You understand that? I begin to live my life to try and change their lives. Now, I don't see anywhere in Scripture that God says I'm responsible for their lives. Each one of us has our own free will and does what we do of our own accord. It's what we want to do. Once we get up to a certain age, we decide that we're going to do what we want to do. I can't change that in anyone. I can get up here this morning and tell you all of this truth from Scripture, and until you make up your mind to change it, it has no effect. I'm just wasting my breath. If you're not going to take anything to heart that the Scripture says, it's not my fault, okay? It's not. God gave me these words to give to you. He gave us His word of Scripture. He designed the church as a method for us to learn. Man, He's got it going on today too, doesn't He? See if that surpasses in just a second, because I don't think I can talk over that. But God expects us to set these boundaries. And God expects us to understand that we can't change others, that we're responsible for ourselves and not others. And what happens when we get in that unhealthy relationship, it's what's in a clinical, in a counseling setting, we call codependency. which is defined as an addiction to be in a supportive role in a relationship. Understand that? It's the addiction to a supportive role in a relationship. What that means is you're addicted to trying to get somebody else out of their messes. You're addicted to trying to get them out of trouble. You're addicted to trying to change their path. You're addicted to being the go-to person. When they get messed up, they come to you and you try and solve the problem for them. You'll never solve the problem to them until they're ready to solve it themselves. There are people, we played a testimony from the lead singer from Seventh Day Slumber. Great testimony. We played his testimony. He decided that at his mother's urging, he would go to rehab. He didn't think he needed it. He wasn't going to get anything out of it. Spent his mother's entire life savings to go to rehab for 30 days. You know what he did on day 31? He got high. Because he wasn't ready to make the change. His mother was trying to make the change for him by forcing him to go do something to force that change in his life. God's not going to allow us to force that change. And guess what? There can come a time when God himself gives up on seeing change in people. Now, we don't like to hear that, do we? You mean God will give up on me? What are you talking about, Scott? That seems hypocritical. You just talked about God being long-suffering. You talked about God not wanting anybody to perish. You talked about God loving us, and all this is based on God's love. How could God turn his back on someone and still love them? God realizes there comes a certain point in our lives that we're not going to change. We're simply going to do what we're going to do, and God realizes that. Let's listen to this verse, see if I can be loud enough for you to hear it. This is Romans chapter 1. It says, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. That's where someone's crossed a boundary in your life. That's when they get to the point they're going to do these things, and they're going to encourage others to do these evil things. You know, and just reading that, how many of you guys are fans of the movie Christmas Vacation? Are you thinking about Clark talking about his co-workers? Foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. You know, I can just see him saying that. You know, but that's, look at all those negative definitions that God is giving us of people in our lives that are being harmful to us. If God gives up on them because he knows they're not changing, they're not repenting. Notice that's what I said when we started this morning. God's promise about being long-suffering is also conditional about repentance. If we're going to continue to go and get further and further and further and further and further and further away from God, at some point in time, we're going to get so far away that he's going to say, if that's what you want, I'm going to let you have it. If that's the type of life you want, I'm going to give it to you. Our conscience actually becomes dead. Through the influences of Satan, our conscience becomes dead. Hadn't talked much about the enemy this morning, have we? But he's there. He's waiting around to trip people up. He's waiting to influence our conscience. How many people have you seen or know, you know, you think, I don't think they even have a conscience because of the things they do. You know, a guy that would spend his mother's life savings knowing he doesn't want to get clean and go to rehab and would spend your mom's life savings, who has worked as a single mom all her life, to be able to have a little bit of money. Do you think he had any conscience? Doesn't sound like it, does it? I wouldn't think so. And he was right at that point, I think, of God giving up on him. He had gone that far that God was at the point, I don't know how much more of this I'm going to put up with him. I don't know how much further this will go. I'm long-suffering, but I'm also not a doormat. We can't continually tempt God and expect him not to react to us and just think that we can go on and do whatever we want because what God's going to forgive us. He forgives anything. He'll forgive murders. He'll forgive me. He'll forgive whatever sins in my life because God's like that, and I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And at the last minute, when I'm 80 years old, I may repent and decide, okay, God, I'll do it your way after I live life and do everything I want to do. God's not like that. This gentleman I'm talking about, he was at the point in the back of an ambulance dying of a drug overdose. And you know what he finally said? Oh, God, help me. And he meant it. That's what's so fantastic. He got to the point that he realized he'd gotten so far from God. And we can never get so far that we can't come back if we want to, unless God gives us up. If there's still that glimmer of hope, you know, that you want to follow God, man, jump on that and do it. Follow God, whatever way it takes, whatever it takes to turn your direction around this morning. You need to turn around, and if there's somebody in your life that hasn't done it, you can forgive them. You can pray for them. You can be long-suffering, but you don't have to reconcile with them until they make that decision. Okay? We don't have to reconcile because God's not going to be reconciled with us until we make a conscious decision to turn away from our sinful nature and follow Him. Guys, don't make that mistake in your relationships, in your life, and be in bondage to someone that isn't ready to reconcile with you. Great example I heard here is this. You know, if you've had somebody that has repeated, boy, I'd love to use Kyle for this example, but I hate to. I told Kyle I'd pick on him this morning. You know, if you've had somebody that has punched you over and over, Kyle, would you like to come just right within arms? No. You know, somebody that has punched you repeatedly like this right in the face, and they say, well, I'm not going to do that again. Would you stand there? Would you trust them right off? Absolutely not. We have to gain that trust back in our relationships. And the problem is so many of us are so desperate for relationships in our lives, we'll give up that trust factor to be abused once again and be back in bondage for those that will do harmful things and cross those boundaries. You wouldn't stand there within arm's reach of somebody that's continually punched you, would you? You got better sense than that. You're going to wait and see. I don't know so much about this. I'm going to wait and see what their character looks like. And that's what happens to us, is we get there and we don't take these things seriously. You know, one other verse I want to read about our conscience here is from 1 Timothy. It says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. Their conscience is dead. God will get to that point. Satan will come into our lives, kill our conscience, to where we don't care what we do. The only thing we live for is the next thing, whatever it is that we want to do. Instead of getting up every day and saying, God, what can I do for you? What is the next right step you want me to make? It's, I'm going to get up and do whatever feels right for me today and whatever helps me the most. And we get into that pattern because Satan has actually influenced our conscience. Do you know that there's twice here this morning I've mentioned Satan and demons have a role in this? You know, it's not just us. We have an enemy out there that orchestrates circumstances to put us in bondage. Okay? You need to remember that as Christians. We don't talk a lot about the spiritual side of things sometimes. There is a dark side of the spirit world that Satan controls, and he will absolutely put you in bondage to something. He will absolutely use his demons and his influence to keep you going away from God. And you need to remember that. You may get to the point that you want to change and you don't think you can anymore. Many times that's because of that evil influence in our lives. But sometimes we simply have to separate ourselves from those who continually disobey God. Sometimes we just have to get away from them, because it's destroying our own lives. And that's a hard thing. I can't imagine having a loved one that has become so destructive that I have to separate from them. I hope I never go through that. But I know some of y'all have. I know some of you have relationships. I know some of you all have children that have gone so far astray that you no longer have a relationship with them. It's horrible. But at some point in time, we've got to realize that if they're going to continue to dishonor God, we've got to separate from them. Matthew 18:17 says, talking about discipline of Christians, says, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Two things that Jews in that culture hated were Gentiles, which were non-Jewish people, and tax collectors. Well, the IRS this week hasn't been very popular, so I'm sure y'all can relate to that. If you're a conservative person at all, you may have been targeted by them and think, those people are just kind of evil. That's how God's telling us to treat those who continually cross those boundaries in our life and continually do wrong. We can be long-suffering. We can have endurance. We can have patience. We can suffer alongside of them to a point. To a point. And when it becomes obvious that they have no interest in reconciling, they just want to be harmful, we need to give up on that. Okay? We don't need to keep pursuing things that God's taken away. Sometimes God takes things out of our lives that we try and keep bringing back in, and it's harmful for us. You've prayed, God, whatever your will is, I accept it. And as soon as he removes that portion from your life, you go chasing it. Oh, wait, God, I didn't think, no, that's not what I meant. I don't want them out of my life. Sometimes God removes people from our lives, from our relationships to protect us. And we don't need to go running after them, okay? It's harmful to us. And God does one thing here, even when he's long-suffering, even when he's forgiving, even when he's loving, even when he's merciful, he does hold us accountable. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, and just as it's appointed for a man to die once, and after that comes judgment. All these things that we've done in our lives, if we continue to run from God, if we continue to not repent, if we continue to not go back in the direction he wants us to go, he'll let us go. But someday we'll answer for that. Now, thank God that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, so that if we do mess up and we do get going away from God sometimes, because I don't live in sinless perfection. I don't know about you. I have to repent. And it's a constant adjustment, of course. God is constantly putting, it's kind of like little bumpers on each side. The little cars that used to bounce into things and bounce off? I think that's what God does in our lives. He puts little bumpers in the directions he doesn't want us to go, and we bump off of those, and he turns us back in the right direction. We bump off one over here, and he turns us back in the right direction. Happens in my life. I'm sure it happens in yours. If you're sensitive to God's Spirit, he's going to show you directions that you need to get away from. But we're going to be held accountable when we don't get away from those directions, because that's just the way God's nature is. That's part of his nature. Oh, we got a weather radio warning. A flood warning for Hicks. And well, imagine that, guys. I can't imagine that, can you? But God does those things. He holds us accountable for our actions. But we have a mediator between God and ourselves in Jesus Christ. Jesus covered those sins. He covered all those times when I went in the wrong direction, when I'm bumping off the barriers. Jesus covered that for me. My trust in him is what reconciles me to God. Now, it's not that I can keep going, like I said, keep going in the wrong direction forever and God not hold me accountable. Obviously, he holds us accountable. But for those times when we slip up on a daily basis, he always provides us a way out of those sins. He tells us those temptations. He provides us a way out. And if we still fall into temptation, if we still do something we're not supposed to, we have Jesus Christ as our advocate, God's own son, to go to bat for us and tell the Father, I've got him. He's in me. I died for him. We were talking about this a little bit in the small group Friday night. When you look at that, it's sometimes easy to remember God died for you and him and her. And then he died for me. He died for each one of us. And so we need to remember that our sins are what caused that. But there is an advocate in Jesus Christ, and he will reconcile us to God the Father. And that's what I want to leave you with today. If you're going on the wrong path, if for some reason you have gotten away from God, if there's some reason that you're hitting those barriers, you're bumping up against them, God's long-suffering. God's going to take care of it in the long run. God's going to stick with you. Hopefully there's nobody here that's gotten to that rock bottom and has to cry out, oh, God, help me this morning. But there might be some of you out there too. I realize that we are all at very different points in our spiritual walk this morning. And I pray whatever it is, whether it's you're so far away from God you don't know how to get back, whether maybe you've just had a little bump over here somewhere and you need to repent and turn back in the right direction, I just ask you this morning to consider that as we pray, as we go to God our Father through Jesus Christ, our advocate, that died for our sins in our place. that you'll consider that this morning. If there's something you need to tune up in your life, to think about that. And maybe there's some people you need to be a little more long-suffering towards. Maybe there's some people in your life that you need to be more patient with and suffer alongside, seeing them trying and struggling and failing, but they're still trying. Don't give up on them. Love them. Don't give up on them. As long as they're still trying, never, ever give up on them. And it may not even appear to you sometimes that they're trying hard enough. But you've got to have faith that God will work in their lives if they'll allow Him to. May not be today, may not be tomorrow, but you've got to be long-suffering in that. But do set boundaries and protect yourselves. Protect yourselves from those that aren't trying, that are just bringing harm into your lives, guys. And I know that's a hard lesson this morning. It's very hard to find that, and the only way you'll find that is walking closely with God and His Spirit guiding you in those relationships to know when it's time to say enough's enough versus when it's time to keep suffering with them. So let's pray this morning. Father, I thank You, God. I thank You for Your blessings, Lord. Difficult teaching this morning, Lord, to understand how You can be so long-suffering and so patient with us and walk right beside us and through our trials and things that go on. But yet sometimes we can get so far away that You would actually give up on us, God. That's a scary thought. And Lord, just pray that we can use these things in our own relationships, God, that we can somehow apply this to our lives, to those that we love. I know there are parents here, God, that are worried about children. There are children that are worried about parents. There are spouses that are worried about their mates, God. So many needs this morning that we all have, God. I just pray that this morning that whatever is going on in our lives, that we'll reconcile to You and realize that through Jesus Christ, we can have fellowship with You, and we can turn from the things that we're doing and come running back to You because You're waiting for us with open arms, God. And I just pray this morning, if there's anyone needs to do that, Lord, if there's someone that maybe has never trusted You, has never trusted this truth that Your Son died because of their sins, but that we can be reconciled to You by faith in Jesus Christ, realizing He died for our sins. Not only did He die, but He was buried and rose again on the third day, and that He has conquered the grave for us to keep us from living in an eternal separation from You, God. I just pray if anyone needs to make that decision, they'll make it, God. I pray You'll bless and all the relationships represented here at Journey. Lord, just so much I pray that You'll touch each and every individual's life and give them the comfort that they need and the peace they need this morning. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.